If you'd like to see God do one thing in your life with your money over the days ahead, what one thing would it be? I'm Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. There's five essential areas of life as we see it: our faith, our family. Certainly it has to do with our health and our work and our finances. Counselors listening, you know finances often come to the table, to the surface. When it comes to relationship problems, it's a major issue in marriage disputes, marriage problems. It certainly is an issue in business. It's an issue in a lot of life. And so spending a little time talking about how to be intentional with our money, I think, is a good thing. We got a great half hour ahead for you today. I want to thank our team for putting this together. Parkey Thompson, who is a financial coach, a friend of the ministry, is back with us today. He serves in leadership over the years in high-profile companies, and now he started his own financial focus business, providing financial coaching and strategic planning and direction setting for individuals, families, organizations, and small businesses. More than anything, Parkey and his family live what they teach. They're debt-free and live on a plan without credit cards. So what you're going to hear from Parkey today is his own experience. So if you didn't know Parkey, here he is. Parkey, welcome back to Intentional Living today.
Randy, thanks for having me back.
Appreciate it. For those who have not heard you, you didn't always have financial freedom in your life. You talked about that. I think you said it was a Saturday. One Saturday you decided to wake up because you had financial problems.
Yeah, interestingly enough, it was November the 15th, 2003. I remember the day sitting around the campfire when we made that decision. But it was 2 days later, November the 17th, 2003, is when I went to work, and after about an hour found out I no longer had a job. So that commitment that that we had made on Saturday, we were definitely committed to beginning on Monday.
But you made the decision before you knew the job loss. Was there a crisis on that Saturday that you said, hey, we got to do something different?
Not at all. We had just begun over the last 6 months to wake up and realize the financial situation that we were in, and knowing. And I think we've talked about in the past where people make a lot of money. It seems to help out. Well, in fact, the truth is the more money people make, the worse the financial situation they typically find themselves in, unless they're disciplined and intentional. And so in our particular case, I was the primary breadwinner. We were making a lot of money in our household, a lot of money, more money than I ever thought I would make in my life. But the fact is we were spending more. We were becoming more obligated with the loans and so forth and use of credit that we had, that it really wasn't making any difference how much money we were making. We were getting farther and farther and farther behind. So the crisis was we woke up and realized it. Yeah. And it wasn't the job loss.
You know, so much of life and success in life, no matter what it is, does come back to being intentional, declaring what your intention is and then doing it. This thing of dealing with money, I often say, is not rocket science. It's a math problem, really. And if we can get a handle on the math problem and then put some steps in place and follow them intentionally, the math will work out. At the end of the day, the math is there. This is a math issue more than an art issue. You do the math, and you're going to get the kind of results you're looking for.
And Randy, I would tell you the truth is for all the listeners out there, I absolutely hate math. I don't like math. I still have to do math, and we've got a lot of tools that help us with the math, whether it's spreadsheets on a computer or a calculator, or even a pencil, piece of paper, and an eraser. But the truth is, it's behavior modification, even with the math. And if we modify our behavior, if we set our path of where we want to be and begin to work daily, diligently, intentionally, we can accomplish a whole lot.
Well, it sounds like Mary's staying away from credit cards. That's her intentional thing in Wisconsin. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi.
So what'd you do? Bury the credit cards, cut them up, freeze them, or what'd you do?
I've heard of freezing. I tore them up just a little while ago looking at the payment. I have two credit cards. One is for $750, maxed out, of course. I pay $28 a month to pay to get that over with, and $14 of that goes for interest. And my other one, which I have so much fun maxing out, I pay $200 a month for that, and only $64 goes towards the balance. So I'm not having much fun anymore. And the things that I bought, I could have done without. I've done without all these years. And I think I would have had more fun if I paid cash. Then that way they're mine. So I learned a lesson.
Mary, can I ask you a question about that interest? Any idea what the interest rate is on both of those cards?
Oh, no, I'm kind of dumb when it comes to, you know, checking things out like that.
That's quite all right. That's quite all right. But one of the things that I would encourage you to do is call both those credit card companies. Explain your situation to them. And, I mean, you can even tell them that you had fun on that one. That's fine. Most people do. But the truth is you need their help today. What can they do? Can they lower that interest rate to help you as you're paying? And then that $28 a month, more of that money is going to be going to the principal as opposed to the interest, and maybe a lot more that will help you get rid of that $250 one even sooner so you can move into that bigger one and start paying it off. Recently, I had a client who I shared the same thing with him. They were paying 33% interest on that card. He didn't think I was telling the truth, but when he called a couple days later, they actually cut it in half. And at 16% interest, that's still a big chunk, but at the same time, significantly lower than what they were paying.
They feared he was going to pack up and move to another company.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, that's a worthwhile thing. My goodness, you're paying $200, $228 a month. It sounds like a good percentage of that's going off on interest. It'd be worth a phone call.
Yeah. Yes. All right. I'll do that.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your call. What about consolidating? What do you tell people who have credit card debt, just like Mary, a couple credit cards, and they're thinking maybe I should consolidate all my debts into something, you know, one thing? What do you think about that?
I will tell you probably 95% of the people who ask me about consolidating have been through a consolidation program in the past, and now they're back into worse of a situation than what they had before. And really, when you look at that consolidation, what people are looking for, they're looking for some breathing room. They're looking to get those monthly payments down so they can feel better, sleep at night, whatever, maybe relate better with their spouse, whatever the situation. Unfortunately, until you fix the root of the problem, that extra freedom, that loosening of the belt, so to speak, allows us to get back in, and then often worse than where we were.
All right, hang on. We'll be back. We got callers and questions on money. Parkey Thompson's my guest. This is Intentional Living.
It's a statement, simple yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's two simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living Wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
How do you let go of anger in your life? I am Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. This is a really big deal because anger is either a great benefit to you or can be a great heartache. Because whatever occupies your heart and your mind will control your life. It says in the book of Ephesians to be angry, but do not sin. That's not an easy thing to do. Anger is like an emotional fuel. Can I encourage you to use it for good? Take the anger you're feeling and use it to fix a problem in a positive, intentional way. Accept the reality that you can't change everybody. You can't necessarily change a situation. Accept the reality that where you are today is something that maybe God is going to use in your life. And if you're really wrestling, remember, cast your care on Him because He cares for you. So lay it down intentionally.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
The Intentional Living Minute can be yours. It'll come to your news feed on Facebook. Just like the page, and we'll send it to you on video every morning. You know, we're just less than a week away now from the end of this month. Hard to believe that we're wrapping up June, but we're also wrapping up our fiscal year for Intentional Living. And shortly after the first of the month, I report to the board of directors on how this fiscal year ended. We live very intentionally with the finances that come to the ministry. We do not borrow. We don't pay interest on the money that you send in because we have notes to pay. Every dollar that comes in here is used to further the mission and ministry of our ministry, and we thank you for it. We need to finish strong. We're getting close, but we've been slightly behind where we need to be, and I want to challenge you to pray about an additional special love gift to help us close this year. We have a very special gift to send to you. It's the Finish Strong print, a beautiful work of art painted by my wife, Donna. It's 16 by 20, ready for framing. It's in our Art That Speaks to You series, and on it will be the 10 principles that I teach, the intentionals, for finishing strong. And it's our gift to you when you ask for it with your special gift today. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Parkey Thompson's here. We're talking money. Let's get to the calls. Dave is in Arizona. Appreciate your call, Dave. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. A couple things. Number one, can you hear me good?
I can. Go right ahead.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. To add to Parkey's recommendation, I definitely agree that putting things on paper, a monthly spreadsheet, very, very helpful. The second tip was, instead of using cash, it's hard to track cash. You know, you're buying a burger, you're buying a soda or whatever. That's hard to track. So what I did is I made all my purchases with a Visa or debit card. And that way, you're keeping track of all your spending. And if you can't do your budget analysis at the end of the month, you can always go online a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, and go ahead and do your budget. And then you could compare month to month and then look at what you did over the year and make adjustments as you're going along. So those were two things that really, really helped a lot.
What's your current status, Dave?
Well, using that method, I was able to make adjustments and get out of debt, thank God. And my question now would be, if you're saving, let's say, $100, $200, even $300 a month, in the big scheme of things, that's not really a lot for, let's say, retirement. Is there any additional tips that you could provide?
How old are you, Dave?
I'm in my early 50s.
All right, so you're 50s and you're debt-free.
Yep.
And can I ask you, how much have you saved roughly for retirement?
Less than 50,000.
Okay, so you're in your 50s, debt-free. Roughly $50,000 for retirement. What would you say, Parkey, if Dave were sitting before you in your office?
Well, first of all, I would pat Dave on the back, tell him good work getting out of debt and so forth. What he mentions there with the debit card and being specific in his spending there, I would still point back to cash and just keeping that cash separate, your groceries separate, your out-to-eat separate, on down the line. Anything that we tend to overspend in should be done in cash and should be done in its own envelope or its own category. And at that particular point, when you've got that, you can track that. I teach people when they swim with cash and they go to the grocery store and they get the change back, take the receipt and put back in that envelope as well. So you're staying specific with your groceries and, again, each one of those categories. When it comes to the retirement piece, I would tell you just the consistency of it. If it's $100, $200, $300 a month, make sure that you're putting that away and putting it away and beginning to invest in things that have got a good long-term track record that you can put into. Keep the risk down as much as you can. But even those few dollars that you're talking about are going to grow. Ideally, the situation that you're in now would have been much nicer to be back in our 20s, you and I, for both of us. But the truth is, here we are today. Everything that you can put in there, get it in there and make sure that it's invested. The other thing that I would tell you even before that, and I'm hoping you've got that, is you've got a solid emergency fund, liquid cash sitting somewhere so that you can get your hands on in the event that you've got an emergency. Is that the case, Dave?
I don't know what you what would you advise a good amount would be for emergency. I mean, I got a few thousand dollars.
Well, I would suggest having at least 3 months' worth of our living expenses. So in other words, if you're spending $2,000 a month to exist, you want to multiply that out by three, at least $6,000. Somewhere between 3 and 6 months of that is really going to be healthy. It's not really doing anything but providing a security blanket in the event that you need money, all right? The muffler goes out. You know, the water heater goes out, whatever the case may be, that would be expensive. If you've got all that money tied up in a retirement account, it may cost you more to get that money out to take care of the water heater than what the water heater would cost, because you're going to pay taxes and penalties on that, and you're going to lose the investment piece, that time component of that.
Now, what about retirement? Do you have targets that you work with people who are being very intentional about preparing for the future? They may not even retire. That's a big question biblically. Should we ever retire? But at the same time, people want to slow down, change their schedule, and so on. Do you have targets that you encourage people to shoot for, rules of thumb for saving and for targets for retirement?
Well, I teach people to do as much as they can, not necessarily a target dollar amount, but rules of getting out of debt, getting the house paid off, getting all that stuff done. Surprisingly enough, the number of people that I meet with who are in their late 50s and 60s and even 70s who have the majority of a 30-year mortgage left to pay. I mean, when you look back a couple generations ago, that wasn't the case. Those things were paid off, you know, 20, 30 years after we've got those, and we had that less of a need of income on a monthly basis to take care of that house payment or any other debt. So let's get completely out of debt, and again, as we're investing, let's build up as much as we can to put us in a position that takes care of everything that we need, and then at the same time, let's be in a position to where we can be fruitful givers and do what we need to be doing, even in those retirement years, whether it's physically or even dollar amount.
What do you see as a big mistake people make when they get to the retirement transition time in preparation for that?
Well, again, I think that biggest thing is we continue to hang on to that debt. I mean, one of the biggest things out there today is student loan debt, and where parents have co-signed or taken on the responsibility of a student loan debt for their children, and those can get big. Credit card debt, mortgages, and so forth, that debt bogs us down. It's like a ball and chain. It just keeps us down. If we didn't have that debt to pay for, that money that we've got coming in at retirement is going to go a whole lot farther.
Mm. All right. I hope that helps, Dave. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Caitlin. Caitlin is in Kansas with a comment today. Caitlin, you're on the air with Parkey. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I just wanted to encourage parents to really teach their children about finances. I grew up in a home where finances were very private. You know, we didn't know really what was going on. And I actually got married pretty young. I was married at 21. And my husband had to teach me a lot about finances. And that really wasn't, he did a really good job, but it wasn't, it's not always the best to come from him. You know, it's something that I had to learn as I went. And yeah, I just want parents to really be open with their kids about it.
And we certainly hear that you're a parent.
Yes, I am doing my best. Sorry about that.
No, that's fantastic, and I agree. Parkey, it has to start early. What are some things that you recommend young parents actually do to teach their kids about money?
Well, I think that's right. I think Caitlin just said a huge chunk of that is not only teach your children, but teach them while they're watching you. One of the things that the Lord has blessed us with in the last couple of years is a grandbaby, our first grandbaby. She's 22 months old, and she mimics everything that you do. And the truth is, when it comes to managing money, you can teach, you can say a whole lot, but they're watching what you're actually doing, even when it comes to spending money and managing, and how mom and dad get along around that as well. So one of the things I would do, and I don't know, Caitlin, how many children that you do have, but I clearly heard that one, as they become of age, teach them to earn money. And not only earn it, how to save it, how to give it, and how to spend it. Teach them how to do that even with the dollars that you might give them. Don't give them allowance, but teach them to do the work and get paid for the work that they do. And, again, those things might be very simple when they're young, like cleaning up their toys and so forth. But the more they learn how to do that, and then those three pieces, the saving, the giving, and the spending is going to help them be different than most people and realize when they do go out there and get jobs, they're going to be ahead of the game.
That's good. You're well on your way, Caitlin. Sounds like you're doing a good job. Stay the course.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
All right. I'll tell you what. We're going to take a quick break. We got a lot of questions. I'm going to paraphrase a few. I got a question about in-laws. Should you provide financial help to irresponsible in-laws? How about future spouse, both in debt? What kinds of things should they be thinking about before they get married? If they both have debts, what should they be talking about? A couple more questions and calls as well. We'll be back with more on Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
First of all, to cultivate more aha moments, listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, the scripture is very clear that the Holy Spirit is our comforter and our guide. And I think so often for many of us, it's easy just to get into our heads and be practical and do the next thing and not stop as a believer and say, God, speak to my spirit. I mean, spirit to spirit. We either believe that the Holy Spirit will be with us when we have these moments that we have to understand what to do next or we don't. And with the scripture telling us that the Holy Spirit is with us, you know, the greatest prayer we can pray is, Lord, just help me. Lord, reveal yourself to me. I'm confused. I don't know what to do next. There are two critical moments in time, and how you respond to each will make a difference. One moment is what we call the aha moments of life. We say they can change your life. When you have an awareness, an insight, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, a friend, a counselor, reading scripture. You and I have had those aha moments. Aha. Maybe today we're talking money. Maybe you're getting an aha moment right now in this show today. You're thinking, aha, you know, listen, I'm in trouble. I'm not doing this right. God's got a better plan. Time to wake up. And the other moment that we have that we don't want are the oh no moments of life. And if you're in an oh no moment, deal with it. Understand you can have less of those when you have dealt with and handled and reacted appropriately and intentionally to the aha moments. It's the teaching this month for members. You've received it by now. If you've requested, it's on CD. If you're not a member and you join us today to help us wrap up June, send your best gift and become a monthly member. We'll make sure you get the teaching. Do it today. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on donate, and we appreciate it. Parky Thompson's here. Parky, we only have a few more minutes to get questions. Let me paraphrase a couple questions that came in on our comment line. One is, Keith wanted to know, should he provide financial help to in-laws if they appear irresponsible?
On the surface, I would tell you no. We don't want to reward bad behavior and allow them to continue to make mistakes that they've made in the past. At the same time, there's a fine line there between rewarding bad behavior and being compassionate. So I would make sure the necessities that they have, making sure that they've got food on the table, that they're able to eat. Maybe they may need some medication or something like that, that we can help where we can. But the truth is, we can't take care of the past mistakes that they have made.
I agree with that. All right. Zach wants to ask a question from Arizona. Zach, go right ahead, my friend. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm in a little bit different situation. I've been blessed financially for most of my life. Like, my parents instilled very good financial values. So right now I'm sitting on about like $50,000 to $60,000, and I would like to know how to make that grow, because I get immense joy in helping people out and giving. I subscribe to the Dave Ramsey thought process. So I just kind of want to know, like, what can I do to further increase what I have, whether that's through like stock market, 401k, investing. I just want to get your guys' thoughts.
Parking?
Well, I think on the surface there, the money that you've got, I think that's wonderful to acknowledge that you've been blessed there. And I would hope, and I think that you're saying this, Zach, but I would hope that you're taking care of yours and your family's needs up front to make sure that you're positioned well to move forward there. And then there's going to be a variety of things. And I would encourage you to get with someone in the investment field, somewhere close to you, someone that you can work with hand in hand to find those things that are going to help you. I mean, my understanding of your question is, how do I grow this money to be a help to other people, like this radio program and other people who may be in specific needs and so forth? How do I take that money and let it grow that it might be able to help others? And I would say you want to do that with as little risk as you can, but again, provide you with the funds to be able to help people in that time of need. And then I would also encourage you not to just do it on your own, but get a group of people working with you so that you can work through the situations that you have. And I think that number of people help you understand the situation. So, you know, people don't take advantage of you and your situation and your money there, but you've got a group of people who are monitoring and making sure that you're doing the right thing for the right people.
You know, Zach, from my experience, and I'm not a financial expert, but my wife, Donna, and I, when we got married, we made a few decisions that we were going to live on what God provided. We were going to give, and we were going to save. And maybe looking back over my lifetime, we've been married a long time, there's probably times, well, we could have made a better investment, or we could have done this, or maybe we shouldn't have done that. But I think for us, and this is a simple thing, was consistency. In other words, we just set a plan, the best plan that we felt God had for us, and we just stuck with it. And for us, it was like automatically coming out of our paycheck a little bit every month, just a little bit, doing a little bit over an extended period of time, making sure that it was going into a wise kind of investment. and it would be up, it'd be down, but we just stayed the course. And I don't know, Parker, you work with people every day, but isn't consistency a big part of it? It seems like people chase after stuff, and in the process, they lose.
Well, and I think that word consistency goes right along with that word of being intentional, being disciplined, being focused. You're exactly right. That is a huge component in that equation of growing over a period of time is the consistency. Things are going to be up, things are going to be down, our attitudes, our money, the investments, whatever the case may be. But staying consistent to what we know, what works, it will continue to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach, thank you. I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad God's blessed you with parents who trained you. It sounds like you're well on your way and staying the course. We did get a question from Robert about a future spouse. Both have debt, both own homes. They need some advice on what to do when people are thinking about getting married, maybe bringing their assets together and their debt.
Well, Randy, I would tell you in that particular case, if it was something that would keep us from getting married, that being debt, most people in America wouldn't be getting married because most people have issues with debt. What I would tell you is it shouldn't keep us from getting married. The only thing that should keep us from getting married is the fact that we don't have a plan on how we're going to handle that. And a solid plan that both of us have built that we're going to work aggressively towards to get those things taken care of. It could be that both those individuals, to your point, have houses or whatever the case may be. Do we need two houses? Can we liquidate? Can we find some money, maybe take some from the equity of that house and put it into the house that we're going to keep? How do we become consistent? How do we become diligent? How do we become aggressive in tackling this down? Must have a plan before we get married.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, listen, Parker, we've had so many questions we haven't even get to. We'll have to have you back another time and carry on this conversation. I want to say I appreciate you and your wisdom. And I think if nothing else today, maybe only heard part of the program, it'll get you motivated to know you can be intentional. We talk about getting mad enough, changing your mind, your attitude, and your decisions, and begin the process. You can experience freedom. You can experience peace. It may take some time, but it's going to begin when you make an intentional decision today. And I want to thank you, Parker, for helping us take that first step today. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here.
Parker Thompson's our guest. We appreciate Parker. He has his own financial coaching ministry business called Financial Focus. I think we have Parker information up on our website today if you want to check it out. I want to thank him as a financial coach, strategic planning, direction for families. Parker himself had to get to a place where he and his wife made a decision that they wanted to live intentionally. They're debt-free, live on a plan without credit cards, and you can do it too. You may not be there today, but you can be there. You can. It's possible. All right, for our entire team, thank you for joining us. And by the way, if you missed any of the program today, wherever you find your podcasts, it's there. Just go to Intentional Living. It'll be on your podcast. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you. We'll see you next time from our Intentional Living Center.